Okay, so I just put up a name class, and I have a couple of variables of type string. What data kind of data type is string?
Derived.
It's a derived class. It's a class rather than a primitive data type. So it's a class which includes some variables and methods. We can look at what those are as we go along. What else can you tell me about it? Necessarily. You can, but you don't have to. Yeah, it's actually it's a peculiar class in a couple of important ways. What else do you know about that? You don't know how peculiar string is yet, but you're going to find out shortly. What's its access? Do you see the word public there? No, so it's not public. It's package access. The default access, if you don't see it, is package access. Okay? What kind of variables are those? Are they class variables or instance variables? They're instance variables. How do you know they're instance variables? No word static in front of it. See, good review, huh? Okay. So I made up this little name class so that we can use it in our program in different ways. What's our topic for tonight, which I'm going to beat into the ground? Inheritance, constructor methods, superclasses, subclasses, new reserved words, etc., etc. Why am I going to keep on talking about it tonight, even though I mentioned it last night? It's important. It's the single most important topic here so far. You have to learn how this works, or you will not have a clue how a Java program works. Well, you might have a clue, but that's all you'll have. Okay, so I'm going to make up a new class. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Okay, this is a class person. What kind of variable is name? The derived variable. It's an instance variable. It has package access. And here's a description of that name data type. Okay, so when I use the word name here with a capital N, I get all this stuff. Lucky me. That's nice because the person class doesn't have to worry about it. I can focus on whatever a person does and not worry about how a name behaves. And that's valuable because name could actually be part of a hierarchy. Right? I could have a European name and an Asian name. And the European name and the Asian name could extend the name class and both have a first and a last variable in them, but they could have a different two-string method. We're going to learn about two-string methods as we go along. How would the two-string methods differ in those two naming conventions? Two-string is going to turn their name into a printable string. How would those be different? Last name, last name. Because while we conventionally call these first name and last name here, in fact, what it really is given name and family name. Right? So if you go to a different part of the world, you will see the family name comes first and then the given name. So it's printed differently. My roster is really fun because I look down my roster and I realize that the people at the admission desk don't speak a lot of different languages. Well, actually, they do speak a lot of different languages, but not as many as there are people here. And they mix up the family names and the given names, so I end up getting students with their names reversed on the roster and so on. What the heck, huh? In any case, what you can do is you can make up a class where all of this, I could change that to family and given, and then it could be given names and be an array, and so we'll see how to do that. But for now, just think that I can extend that class and have it print this one and then that one, or that one and then that one, in either order. And all I have to do is make a derived class with a method called toString that converts the name into the proper printing order for where you are. Oh well, in any case, the person doesn't have to worry about that. The person can go anywhere in the world and let the name class take care of their name, and I don't have to put any code in the person at all, except the code that knows how to get the name and set the name. What's this method called? This is a method. That's a constructor method. What kind of a constructor method? A parameterless constructor. See, there's no parameter in here. And the way I know a constructor method when I see one is? Same name as the class, no return value. Now, a very common error when you guys are first starting off is to say public void person, which will unfortunately compile fine, because the compiler isn't smart enough to know you didn't mean it. But it won't behave properly. When I say it won't behave properly, how does a constructor method behave properly? A well-behaved constructor method will be called automatically when you create a new instance of a variable of that type. And the reason I want to have that constructor called when I create a new instance of person is because the person needs a name. And what the constructor method does in person is it makes sure that the name gets initialized. Notice over here the constructor in name makes sure that the different parts of the name are initialized. That's the point of having these constructor methods, is to make certain that all of the variables in your class are in a known state. You don't leave anything to chance. What happens is a general rule in computing, if you leave things to the computer, they screw up. The computer always does whatever is worst for you. If you give it a choice, it will always pick the opposite of what you intend. Just keep that in mind when you're working with these machines. And make sure that your programs reflect that knowledge that you have. Okay. have a second constructor in person here. The second constructor in person has two string arguments, the first name and the last name. Okay? Now, I have some choices to make. What do I have to do in this constructor method when it gets called? What do I have to make certain of? If I don't pass two arguments, it won't even compile. Yeah, that's when I write my code to call it, but right now I'm just inventing it. And you guys have everything you need to know to answer my question before your eyes. What don't I have in this method that I do have in that method? Yeah, I haven't created a name object. So I have to create a name object here. Now I have two ways to create a name object. Why do I say I have two ways to create it? Because if I look over at the name class, I have two different constructor methods. So what I can do in this code here, for example, is I could say name equals new name FL. Those are the two strings. Now I've created the object and I've initialized the name to whatever name was passed to the person constructor. Okay? So that's technique one. There's another technique. So I'm just going to show you what technique two is. And you can fight amongst yourselves over which one makes more sense if there really is a difference, because there may not be a difference. I can also say, ways to do the same job. Why do I have set first and set last here instead of just saying name dot first equals S and name dot last equals L? I may not be able to access it. I don't know what package I'm in. These have package access. If person is in a different folder than name, I won't be able to get to first and last. But because the methods are public, I can always get to the setters. That's why you write setter methods. In assignment 3, you are going to be well advised to write setter and getter methods for all of your variables, because you're going to need them in the future to access them, because you're going to be over in assignment 7 and wanting to create and access objects from assignment 3. You're going to be in a totally different folder. Okay. I'll just erase that and go back to the simple one, which is name equals new name. It's always important to know that there's many different ways to do the same job. Okay, now let me see what I need to have here. Public, void, set name, and the argument to set name is a name object. Now I'll be in much better shape, because now I can use my person class in even a different package, right? From somewhere, assignment 7. And I can get the person's name with this method, and then I can get the person's first name using that method. So if I had a person P1, I could say p1.getName.getFirst, and I would get back a string, which is the person's first name. Because the data type of this is an object, I can use the dot operator with it. So just to show you over here, that piece of code, the data type of that, the data type of any variable that you see in Java, if it's a class variable, if it's an object, and you see dot operators, the data type of that expression is whatever's on the right. So p1.getName, the data type of that expression is name. Just like if I had I could do that, or if I wanted to get the person's name and put it in that variable, I could just say n equals that. And if I want to know what their first name is, to print it out, because if this is a name, then I can say that dot get first. And the data type of this whole thing is string. I can't say p1.getFirst because person doesn't have a getFirst method in it. Name has a getFirst method in it. No, I didn't inherit anything, because a person isn't a name. A person has a name. I noticed some of you, there were actually quite a few people last night, put in special infinite loops in their program. So you got to see the Stack Overflow out of memory, etc. Get it out of the way early. Did you ever read the book Rumpelstiltskin? No, maybe not. It's where you have to guess an impossible name. You just guess. If you don't have access to the code, you really don't have any way of knowing. However, with Java 2, which is actually Java 1.2 and above, they have gone, they being the elves at Java Land, have gone to a lot of trouble to make the method names predictable. So if there is a property, then there is going to be a method called get property, set property. Okay, they really did a lot of work. You guys are going to be getting errors saying deprecation. And what that means is that it's not actually an error, it's a warning. That you're using an old-fashioned method in your program somewhere, which will sooner or later become obsolete. Because what the people at Sun did was they rewrote Java to make all of the methods consistently named, to make certain operations that we do later on easier. So, if you have a name, you can kind of guess, if you've written your code according to that rule, you can kind of guess what the methods are, even if you don't have the code. You can at least make an educated guess. But in general, if you don't know what they are, you're off in the woods. You better ask somebody. All it does is it gives you a name. But if I'm using JBuilder, here's what happens. If I type in P1 dot, it will list all the methods in person. I then click on get name and type dot, and it will list all of the methods in the name class. And then I can click on the one I want. Yeah. Get first return string. Yeah, you could just guess, you know, hope for the best. There's a lot of guesswork in programming. Can I what? Yeah. See how easy it is? Okay. But this isn't getting us closer to assignment 3, is it?
Can we talk about the public void set name above there? But what? Center column set in the bottom. Set that.
Yes.
What is that doing?
That's a method.
That's a method.
And what I do is I pass that method, I pass this method a name object. So how would I do that? Well, there's a lot of ways to do it. I could say p1 dot set name new name. Okay? And what that does, what this code does, and you should be aware of this because you see this code all the time in Java. It says create an object of type name, which goes to here, sets the word default into first and last. Then it calls this set name method and copies that name into the person's name. And now the person's name is default. I could also do, well, we hope not, because the person needs it. Oh, the other object will be marked for garbage collection. Yeah, eventually. Yeah, you don't want to keep too many around. But you see, there's a problem with garbage collecting this, because the address of it is the one that person is using. The person is actually using this object. See, inside the person, they don't have a name if you get at them sideways. Their old name gets marked for garbage collection. Right, so the old name that the person had just got wiped out. That goes to the garbage collector. You will hear me talking about the garbage collector. In Java, there are no pointers, so you can't allocate memory and free memory. You can't use the new operator and the delete operator to get rid of it. What happens is there is an algorithm running in the virtual machine all the time. Anytime that it's idle, it's looking through all of the different objects that have been allocated to see if there's a path to them in the code any longer. If there's no longer a path to that object in the code, the memory is reclaimed. However, you can imagine if you just think through that problem, it can get very complicated and there's a lot of overhead associated with it. So we will learn tricks as we go along of how to dispose of memory that you really don't want anymore. Especially if we're working with windows and images and sounds and those things that take a lot of memory. Okay, I could also say this. Oops. Compiler would get me on that one. Or I could also have done something like this. N equals new name, and then I could say P1 dot, three different ways of doing the same thing. This one, it sets a default name, that sets an explicit name. In this case, the name is created independently and then passed to the person. Lots of different ways to do the same job. The important thing to know here is that the person doesn't have to know anything at all about the name and how it behaves. No, because when I put this to a new name, then it's a different name. But if I change the first of this one, it may be we can run some code on that and see if we change the person's first name. Be a good experiment. Because these really are just working as addresses that are being passed. So the addresses are being passed as copies of the address. So we can see how that behaves. Yes. Right. No. See, the name exists independently of person. That doesn't have anything to do with a person. When I want it to have something to do with a person, I send it to the person. Actually, that experiment may not work because of the peculiar way that strings behave. I'm going to tell you guys this right now, and then I will tell you about it again and again. If any of you ever want to take the Java certification test, this is one of the questions on it. The string class behaves in a peculiar fashion. Anytime you do any operation on a string, it creates a new string. So if you take a letter out of a string, you add a letter onto a string, you do any kind of operation that changes a string, a new string is created. And the reason for that, it has to do with the processing overhead of doing copies and, you know, moving the things from here to there and so on. The people who designed the language, strings are so commonly used as objects that the people who designed the language said, well, look, the easiest thing to do is just make a new string object, move everything over into it, don't worry about how big it is. If someone shortens it up, don't worry about reclaiming that memory, just make a new object and reclaim the whole string. Okay? So, it's a very odd situation with strings. So it's hard to test what's going on because as soon as you do an operation on a string, you have a new string object. So the one that you start off with in your name object may not be the one that you have later on in your name object. Because the string class is a wandering kind of object. We'll see with parameter passing how that affects how your code behaves later on. In any case, so now you've everything you need to know about the person in the name class, right? Still doesn't do assignment 3. Yeah. Yeah, I would have person P1 equals new person. Up here somewhere. There. Now I've got a new person. So that created one of these, and in the process of creating one of these, created one of those. And that's why it's really important that you don't extend one of these classes with the other. That's a common mistake at the very beginning, is to make, for example, list class, if it extends person, and then I make a new name in it, what happens? You get a loop. What kind of a loop? We're about to discover it with the student class. Here's the rule. When you have a hierarchy, the superclass constructor, the class on top, its constructor is called first. And then the next level, the next level, the next level, the next level. Right? So if you have a hierarchy of classes, the topmost constructor gets called automatically. So if I create a new person just with the code here, what constructor gets called before a person? Based on what I just said. Name isn't the constructor. Object. Remember last night? See, I said it, but you guys didn't know what I was talking about. Person extends object. All these classes extend object. They are all of type big O object. So the object constructor gets called automatically before the person constructor. And it's a good thing, too, we'll see later on.
It's not going to help. I can look at it for hours and won't make
Okay, I want my student to be in the person hierarchy. What do I do next? What do I type next with my magic marker? Okay, now the student, all that the student is going to have is an ID number. How do I make a default constructor for student?
Well,
public student. There. Now I have a default constructor. Or whatever, minus one. I'll set it to minus one. Then even somebody can be student zero. Okay? So my default student knows that its ID number is no good. Okay, now I'm going to learn something new about constructors and stuff. What I want to do is I want to set the student's name. How many ways do I now have to set the student's name? Many, many, yeah? I could do that. I could just say name, wouldn't be name in, it would just be name equals new name. Why? Where did this name come from? Yeah, because student extends person, it already has this variable. And because when I create a student, his constructor is called, name is already initialized to default. So I could just say, name dot set first F, name dot set last L. That's a way to do it. Is there another way to do it? I could do this. Super FL. New keyword. Remember the keyword over there, this? Super. But super says if it's the first line in a constructor method and it's followed by parentheses, it says call the super class constructor with these arguments. See, normally what happens is you call what's called the default constructor. This one here is the default constructor. This is the default constructor for students. And then here's a two-argument constructor for both of them. And what this, normally what happens, if I create a new student, the default constructor of the superclass is called. This is known as the superclass of this. And anytime you see the word extends, the word on the right is the superclass of that class. So the keyword super with the parentheses says, call a constructor in this class, which is person, with two string arguments, and don't call the default one. Now, if I had the word this in here, then I would call the default one too. Yeah? Well, the compiler looks at the arguments, type string, same arguments, call that one. Very important, all the method calls in Java are based on the argument type. So if you get an error that says constructor such and so, either with no arguments or two or three or four, whatever arguments not found, it means go back to your constructor list and see if you've got one with the correct number of arguments. Yes?
Could you use
yeah, the student has the set name already. It has that method. It inherited it. Well, set name, you have to pass it a name. So you'd have to say set name, new name, F, comma, L. Right. Then it will call this one. Right. And that's already been called here without it even showing up in the code. That's why I say in this language you have to go through a learning process, because it's called implicitly. There is no code here that says this line of code got called, but it did. When I create a new student, the first thing that happens is that method is called. And then this method is called. If it's a student with no arguments, if it's a student with two string arguments, then this method is called. In this case, that method is called, and then you come back and do whatever. Yeah? That's correct. At this point, there's no ID number set, so then I have to make some decisions. You have to make design decisions. You go, huh, well, I've got to get that ID number set somehow. It may be that you want to do this, but here's a problem. The this or the super call has to be the first line in the constructor method. You can't have both. You can't have this and then super, or super and then this. You're stuck. It has to be the very first line because of the way the compiler generates the code. So if I say this, that makes sure the ID number is set. Then what I have to do is the set name. Set name, new name, F, comma, L. And so on. It's a little bit complicated. It takes some practice. Yeah.
Anytime a new student is created, and is created with the two variables that
this one, yeah. Chuck Cheese in this case.
Or whatever. Anytime it happens with those variables passed, you do not necessarily
create
the constructor that the parameter or constructor, only if there is no parameter call there. Anything in the parameter construct there overrides. Does it overwrite the constructor of the parameter?
This one here, which line?
The first line, that's either super in the heap, or is the person constructor?
No, this one here overrides. This one doesn't override anything. This one calls this one. In this case, the super class default constructor is called because I haven't said otherwise. This one is always called unless you say otherwise. So in this case, that's called, then this is called, then that's called.
But it's the default, person is called unless you say otherwise.
Right.
In the first line of the one of the constructors of scissors.
Correct.
Okay, so it doesn't occur.
If you don't see, right. Right. If you don't see the word super in here, default is called. Yes. The person doesn't have an ID number. The person never has an ID number. Right? Because a person has to include people on the Kalahari Desert. And if you ask them what their ID number is, they'll go. So person, only students have ID numbers. That's what makes them special. See, you didn't think of yourself that way when you came to school today, but you're special. You have an ID number. Person never has an ID number. Last night they had a species ID, but I've changed the program. Because last night I was sharing about static, and today I don't care about that anymore. I'm a beast of convenience. Okay. Now what I want to do, this is my third constructor. In assignment 3, you are required to have in your subclass, that's the superclass, this is the subclass. In your subclass, you're required to have 3 constructor methods. That means that you have to have 3 constructor methods with 3 different kinds of arguments. It doesn't have to be 3 arguments. In this case, I have 3 arguments, but it can be any number. What the compiler looks for is how many there are and what data type they are. So, what can I do here? I can say this, F, L, and then I can say, now there are some methods left out here. There are 2 methods left out here. What are those? Yeah, set and get. I have an ID number variable, so I'm going to have a public void set ID number with an int argument, and I'm going to have a public int get ID that returns the ID number. That's what you'll have in your code. If you don't have it now, you'll have it later. So missing. Marina, are you here?